Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
Hello, all my Dream Big listeners. It's so good to be with you. It really, really is good to be with you. And today, let me ask you this question. Have you ever been to a magical place and you didn't know it was even going to be magical? Well, that's what happened to me. I hate shopping. Let's just get it out there. I am not your normal woman. My husband says I'm more like a truck driver. I hate shopping. I hate going to the mall. I think I have like some form of ADD because when I go into a mall, it's all bright and it seems like there's weird amounts of activity and strange lighting and people hustling, and all of a sudden I get distracted. So I don't like going there. I do like supporting, you know, town stores, like local merchants. I do like doing that. But even getting my butt in those stores is pretty difficult. And maybe there could be a lot of psychological issues there, you know, like getting naked in front of a mirror and getting really honest with yourself. But also, I am a musician, I'm a performer, and I know that I don't want to wear the clothes. This may sound really trivial to you, but not to me. When I get on stage, I don't want to see the lady in the front row wearing the same thing I got on. So I literally I'm really picky, you know, but I'm lazy in regard to shopping. So I moved to this beautiful city that I still live in, Ferndale, Michigan, which was known as Fashionable Ferndale, I found out when I moved there. And I happened to be driving down our main road, which is Woodward Avenue. And I noticed this very interesting name, and I almost couldn't pronounce it. But then I figured it out. It was Excelsior. And I couldn't tell what it was at first. And then I realized it was a clothing store. So I was kind of like, yeah, whatever. But then I noticed like the window, everything seemed really interesting. There was something about it that drew me there. And so I actually one day went in. Now, at that period of time, I was just recently a single mom. I didn't have a lot of money. I was struggling as a musician and, you know, taking care of my kids. So I was busy. I didn't really have a lot of time to shop. So I went in there. Well, let me just say that this place was not a clothing store. It was. There were clothes there. It wasn't a place where you felt like you were going to be sold a bag of goods that you didn't want. It was magical. And I thought, what's going on here? Well, the owner of the store welcomed me in this childlike, bubbly way, and not annoying either, by the way. So all of a sudden, I found myself almost confessing my life to her. We weren't just picking out clothes. She was showing me things. She was taking me out of my comfort zone. She was like, try this on, try this on. I'm like, are you crazy? That's going to look terrible on me. And yet it was like magic. These clothes you'd put on, and they were like magic pants, magic dresses, whatever. And we formed a bond that this was literally 20 some years ago. And I am so excited to say that I have this wonderful human being in the studio with me today, Miss Patty Brock. How are you, dear?
I'm well, Jill. Thank you so much. I feel like I just learned something new about you today. Thank you so very much. That's really, really very gracious and kind of you to say it.
Oh, don't be shy, darling. You know it's true. Everybody says it.
So, the childlike part.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, that has always been your MO as long as I've known you. I mean, just the way you bring joy to the world and not just, yes, your personality, but you do it with your clothes, too. And you do it with everything you touch. Has magic to it. And I don't mean to make you cry. I know I'm making you cry and I'm so sorry. So Remy's going to have to get her a Kleenex. But, you know, I think that that's one of the reasons I kept coming back. And I always had this joke and it would be that I joke with myself and say, you know, okay, I'm going to leave my checkbook in the car. Because there was always something that I wanted from you. And it was so beautiful. And I would say that, you know, I'd rather buy the clothes from you than get my kitchen done. And it was true. Because, you know, I'm going to give you an example. And you know me, the beautiful thing about Patty is I would literally call her. I never planned ahead. I always had big shows. And I would call her the day of the show. And I'd be like, my sound check's at 4:00. I am PMSing. I don't feel like wearing this. I don't want a dress. I don't want this. And then I would come there and she would literally have clothes laid out for me. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So there was this one time you and your assistants were like, try these on. And there were these pants, these embroidered, beautiful pants. And I'm like, oh yeah, like that's going to fit me. And you're like, just try them on. And I tried them on. And to this day, even my record label everybody calls them the magic pants.
Really?
Literally. Yeah, I wore them like last week. Everybody's like, good to see you can still fit in them, Jill. But yeah, so your clothes reflect excitement and joy too. So let's kind of take you back and take the listeners back to your journey. Now, you grew up with how many siblings did you have?
I have an older sister and a younger brother. Okay. So I'm the middle girl.
And you had beautiful parents that you were extremely close with.
Very, very much. Very, very wonderful people. I am blessed to have had the childhood that I had. And they are both gone now and miss them every day, of course.
I'm sure. Now, one thing I knew about you, but I always feel like it's a little vague. I don't have all the details, surprisingly, in all our little chit-chats while I was shopping. You were a dancer.
Yes.
So explain to me how that happened.
Well, my first job coming out of high school, I did the co-op thing in school where mm-hmm. as a senior you go to school half day and then go to a job. And I took business courses, which I don't think exist anymore, typing. Dictation, you know.
I remember that.
The olden days. And
now you just got to know how to use your thumbs.
Exactly. And so I worked for a law firm and coming into then the disco days. Mm-hmm. And I had been a dancer since I was a little girl. I started in jazz dancing when I was 7 years old. And so my girlfriends and I obviously, you know, went to the discos and at a local discotheque, I met this guy and who then became my first husband, who worked for the Arthur Murray Dance Studios locally in Metro Detroit. And the owner of them saw me dancing at this disco one time and he said, how would you like a job teaching dance?
Wow.
And I thought, you mean I could have a career dancing? This is a dream come true. And so I started working for Arthur Murray and then subsequently we had a franchise and then we were.
Now don't just brush over that. So how did you? Yeah. And then we had a franchise. I mean, like, how did you decide to do that? What juice did you have in your life that said, I think I could do this? Like, what? Explain the steps
well,
to me in that.
Well, when you get into a teaching position in a franchise like that or Fred Astaire or any one of them, you have to go through training. Mm-hmm. And you have to be trained in 10 dances, 5 rhythm and 5 smooth dances in order to be able to teach the male and the female parts.
Mm-hmm.
So they put me through a 6-week crash course to do just that.
How'd you do? How'd you feel?
I did really well because I actually learned to dance from my parents. You know, my parents never didn't have dancing in the house. Back in their day when I was a little girl, they'd have parties and people would dress to come over. And then my parents would put the music on and they would start dancing before their company came.
What kind of music were they listening to then?
Oh, yeah, great music. Louis Prima and Keeley Smith is what I grew up on.
Sweet.
Demita Jo Williams, Stephen Eady.
Aww.
So all of that was in my life and dancing was in my life. I was doing what they refer to as foxtrot and swing when I was probably five.
So basically your parents taught you.
Yes, most definitely.
And then you just watching your friends too.
Exactly.
What a beautiful,
exactly.
Beautiful thing.
Okay. So it was in my blood. In fact, I didn't want to go to regular college because I remember moving my sister and my older sister, and I saw what that was, and I thought, no, I don't want to live in a room with someone I don't know and share a bathroom with two more people I don't know and eat crummy food and study more and take more tests. No, this isn't for me. So I presented to my father, can I go to, I'd like to either go to Juilliard or I'd like to use the money that you put aside for me for college for dancing. Well, you can imagine the reaction that got. That's not college and that's not a career. And then subsequently, actually, it was a career.
Sure was.
And
how long were you in the career for?
Almost 20 years.
Wow. Now, how did you go from doing this franchise and being in this dance to owning your own boutique clothing store?
Well, I always had a love for vintage. The only time I go outside of my store is for vintage and shoes because I have a shoe problem. And
I think they have therapy for that.
Yes, I'm Shoeaholics Anonymous, I think. So I used to frequent the farmer's market in Royal Oak. That's where I met Patti Smith, an icon of Royal Oak back in the day when, you know, their Royal Oak was full of single-owned shops. And we met, and then she opened her little store in Royal Oak, and I frequented that one.
I did,
and,
too.
And then she opened the bigger one that I think she was in Winkleman's first or one or the other. Anyway, the bigger store, and I frequented that. And then we got to talking, and she needed someone part-time, and I was raising my son. He was about two or three, I think, when this came about, and she said, well, I'm looking for someone. And I said, well, I'm looking for something. And I started with Patty, and I was with her for 10 years. And within that time, she made me the jewelry and accessory buyer. So I was able to do the trade shows, and I got the sense of how things are ordered and, you know, where what happens at a trade show. And it really kind of gave me the bug. And then I ended up divorcing, and I needed full-time work, and that wasn't available with Patty, so I worked at another boutique and managed that in downtown Royal Oak full-time, and then I needed to make a move again, and I started thinking, you know what? I think I could do this myself, because being a paralegal gave me the opportunity to, read and understand legal jargon.
That's good.
So I could read a lease and understand what it meant.
Right.
Then with Patty giving me the opportunity to be a buyer, I understood how things had to come into a store. And then I thought, well, and that not to mention having the experience of working in a store for 10 years, which I think is really important. And then, so I thought, you know what? I think I can do this myself. As a single mom, yet not maybe the smartest thing at the time, but I really had a passion for it. And I thought, I'm sure I can do this. I'm sure I can.
I remember talking to you one time, and I don't know if you remember this conversation, but it sticks with me to this day. When I, you know, was raising Emma, my lovely daughter, and, you know, trying to make ends meet and just barely making it, you know, on the salary I had, musician and part-time job and everything, putting her through a private school. And I remember you told me this scene, and tell me if I get it wrong, but basically you moved into your building and you sat on the floor and you were like, what have I done? Now,
you don't remember it incorrectly. Okay.
So, you know, one of the things I love about having this radio show is my mission. What I want people to understand is that we all have these passions. Not everybody pursues their passion. Not everybody gets that moment of, I'm going to do this no matter what. But then there's other people who say, oh, you know, everybody, it works out for everybody else. And it looks, you know, it's easy for everyone else. And I love to show the yin and the yang. I love to show the passion and the perseverance of a person. But I also want the listeners to know the struggles. So when you were at that moment in your new building, which was a gorgeous building, I remember, I love that building. And all of a sudden you sat on the floor, and how old was your son at that point?
Jordan was just going into high school, and I was 40.
So yeah,
you know, didn't do it at a young age, that's right. For sure.
So here you were, and you ended up having to, you know, kind of have this reality check, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my God. So how did you pick yourself up off the floor?
Well, just to back up for a second, when I entertained the idea of doing this, there was a lot that went into it. And certainly this was many years ago. Things aren't done like this financially so much anymore, although I had to put my house on the block to do it.
Wow.
But the bank, I had an investor, and the investor backed out 2 weeks before I was to sign the lease.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not for all of the money, but for some of it.
Whoa.
And I thought, well, you know, this may not be happening. So I went and I talked to the banker, and he literally said to me, I will never forget it. It was Credit Union One, Ferndale Credit Union at the time. And he said, Patty, some loans are made on paper and some are from the gut. We're going to get you this money.
No kidding.
No kidding.
That's a banker talking.
Yes.
Huh? That's impressive.
That doesn't happen. Yeah. No. I will never, ever forget this man. And so then I take my plans to my cousin, who was my contractor, and he tells me, we can't do it for the amount of money you have. I said, okay, now what? So that ended the conversation between us, and I thought, again, this is not going to happen.
Now, did you think it was a sign that you shouldn't do it? Or not necessarily.
No.
You just, good for you.
No.
That's awesome.
No.
Okay, good.
I really didn't.
Like when the door shuts.
I never thought for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
And my cousin called me back about 3 hours later. He goes, Patty Ann, we are going to get this done. But here's the thing. You're going to have to be the demolition crew in order to, you know, save yourself some money. We'll do the build out, but you're going to have to, you know, take it apart. So my father and I, we're the demolition crew, and I learned to do more things as a contractor than I ever had in my life. We took down drywall. We took down plaster and lathe and linoleum and wood and walls and two acoustical tile ceilings. I think I had the physique of a little man. When I
well, and let me explain to the listener, since you can't see what Patty looks like. She's literally what? And I think I might be giving you an inch or two, 5'2", maybe.
Yes.
Probably less than 100 pounds. So can you imagine? Okay, but close enough. So, I mean, imagine this. I bet you look pretty awesome in a tool belt.
I was proud of my tool belt and my sledgehammer.
I'm sure it was fashion too. You probably had it painted pink or something. But so your father helped you with that.
Yes.
You know, and that I have a feeling now that you're saying this, I didn't know this part of the story, is I feel that, you know, my husband put 1600 square feet under our house. Mm-hmm. You know, you've seen it. And I just feel that when it's done it with that love and that desire, you feel it when you walk into your place. And I feel it when I walk into my home.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So knowing that you're fat, I love that. I didn't know that.
Yep.
Okay. So here you are.
So here I am. And we, you know, gutted the place. And then Victor came in and, you know, slowly but surely it came together. And the thing I want to say at the end of that part, though, Jill, is that dreams and passion are driven to me by the work that goes into accomplishing both of those things.
That's brilliant.
You ha- have to do the hard work. You know, I know there's people who are able to do these kinds of things with, you know, monetary backing.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't my situation.
And it really, in the most part, I think you would find even the people who monetarily can do it now, there was some point in their life where they didn't have it, you know, with the exception of, you know, Donald Trump or something. But,
right.
You know, the bottom line is, so somewhere along the line, it's work.
Yes. Oh, and I think if it isn't, then you don't appreciate, like what you just said, when you walk in your home or when I walked in the store, I really was a part of this. Nobody said, here's the finished product. Here's your key. Go ahead and play store.
Right.
It was not at all.
I mean,
you put
your heart, yeah, soul, and you probably had blisters to prove it.
Oh, so, I most certainly did.
That's amazing.
So I knew also that I had a, you know, child to take care of and clothe and feed. And so pretty much the first 3 years of the store being opened, I worked two other jobs.
Oh, wow.
Because
yeah,
you don't make money right away.
No.
I mean, that's just, yeah, absurd. Absolutely. You hope to be able to sell what you've purchased in order to make enough money to purchase more so that you always have something in your store. That's the idea. But that's pretty much first, you know, the cycle of it. And then you hope that there's an offshoot after a few years where you start to be able to
take
some money.
How long did you work that many jobs?
Almost 3 years.
Wow. Wow.
Plus I did all the days and all the hours at the store when it was open. God. So my one job was as a bookkeeper that I didn't have to report for.
Uh-huh.
So I did that at home. And then the other one was this wonderful catering job that I had at nights and weekends for this local caterer. And we had a blast doing it. So it wasn't a hardship, you know, and it was
just part of what you knew had,
yeah,
to be done to get to be where you had
exactly
to go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I think that's what people don't understand. It's like, you know, overnight successes don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know for me, you know, 25 years in the business, everything I've had to do and jobs you had to take and things you had to kind of like, oh, okay, get through this type of thing, to really do what you love to do.
Right.
So I'm going to ask you something I've never asked you. How do you know what to buy? Like, everything in your store is awesome. So how did you learn? I mean, is it just a feeling? Like, when you go, do you go to Paris? Do you go to places like that? I mean, I can't remember.
I have not been to Europe to buy.
Okay. New York. You've been to New York.
I've been to New York. I've been to Vegas. I've been to California. I've been to Dallas. I've been to Chicago. You know, lots of places. Never Europe. And there's a sort of a reason why, but, you know, we can get into that if, but I feel like I'm not much of a trendsetter and I'm kind of a designer dud. So I don't really know what's going on in the fashion world necessarily.
Thank
when
God.
I go by.
Yeah.
I buy what I like.
Is it a gut instinct?
Yeah, it must be. And I love clothing
and jewelry
Yeah. And I love that, you know, it, you know, regardless of, you know, who you are, when you present yourself to the world, it kind of says to the world, this is how I feel about myself. So if you're doing the athleisure, which I refer to as athlazy dressing every single day, you know, it's kind of, all right, I've given up, or I'm done, or it's too much trouble. I mean, I'm as comfortable as anyone in yoga pants and a zip hoodie every day at my store.
And you look adorable in it, by the way.
And I'm not wearing that.
But you also look amazing in a tutu. So
so do you.
Thank you. Oh, yes, you did have me in a tutu once, didn't you?
Yeah, so do you. So I think it must be a gut and a passion for the individual creativity that everybody has inside them. And if I can help bring that out, then better yet.
And that's what makes your store magic. Because even people who are lazy like me. I am lazy when it comes to dressing. This morning, I knew you're going to be there, and I'm like, oh God, I put a little effort into it. And like, Remy doesn't care if I come in my pajamas, but you know, the bottom line is I know what you're saying, and it does make you feel better. It does, but you make me feel better. Mm. And unfortunately, we have to wrap it up, and I could talk to you forever. I would like you to come back because I'd like to discuss, you know, one thing. Patty is a cancer survivor. And she's done amazing work for people. She's there. She raises money. She's just an incredible support system for many people, like a hotline listener type thing. So we'll talk about that next time you come on the show. But I do want to say, oh, go ahead.
I just wanted to say one more thing because you mentioned it. We are in the same bracket here. Next year is my 25 years in business.
Yay!
And a client said to me, which made me sort of think a little further, she said, wow, that is something to stay relevant for 25 years. So my hat is off to you, my friend.
And you too. So tell everyone where they can find your store for the people in Michigan.
Oh, I am now in beautiful downtown Berkeley, and it is a really lovely little town that's up and coming. Mm-hmm. Lots of mom and pop stores. I am on Robina Street, and the store is called Annabelle's, which is the name of my firstborn granddaughter.
And are you on Facebook as well?
Facebook and Instagram both.
All right. And you have to just like her on Facebook. It is very entertaining. You won't be bored. And the clothing is amazing. And I'm not kidding you. I still wear my magic pants. I'm bringing them on tour with me this week. So, Patty, thank you so much. I love you. Thanks for being on my show.
I love you too, Jill. Thank you.